Blog Talk Radio.
Glad I got my toes.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves
somebody.
Have you ever loved somebody?
Biblical expert and my mentor and friend, Dr. G. How you doing, Dr. G?
I'm doing well.
Praise the Lord. We thank God for another night. We thank God that we're back on the air. I know we had a few challenges the last couple of weeks, mm-hmm. but we thank God that he worked it out.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody is just glad to be able to get together and study the word of God again. And so we're just going to ask God's blessing. Ask everyone to bow your head and close your eyes. We're going to ask God's blessing. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we thank you again, God, for allowing us to come together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you. Oh, God, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and that all of this, God, will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Another good night to study the word of God. We left off on last Thursday when we were finishing up in the book of Romans, talking about how God had a plan to put mankind back into the proper relation with God. And it was based upon Adam messing up, and Jesus was able to fulfill what God asked him to do. And so we said that one man, Adam, got us into the trouble, Sheila G.
That's right.
And one man, Jesus, got us out, Dr. G.
Hello.
And that's God's plan. You know, mm-hmm. that's what I love about God, is he's not complicated.
No.
He didn't have any gray area. You know, it was black and white. It was like, okay, you messed up. Everybody that was born after Adam, you messed up. Now, if you accept my gift, and this is what we were talking about, Sheila G, on last Thursday, and if we would go to Romans, the 5th chapter, and verse 16, it says, "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one man to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." And so we were talking about a free gift. And, you know, not too many times people are willing to give something for free. And not too many times people will give you a gift that has this much value. The value of the gift of God is his son.
Amen.
That's right.
And he gave it because he loved us, Dr. G.
Mm-hmm.
He loved us so much that he gave us a free gift. In other words, the gift that God gave was the greatest gift of all.
Hello.
That's right.
And for so many reasons, I don't know, for so many people, they don't want to accept this free gift.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the only way that we can get back into the proper relationship with God is through his simple plan. Is Adam messed you up? Everybody got condemned. But with Jesus, if you accept this free gift, you can be justified because your belief. And that's what happened with Abraham back in the beginning when he was called out, when God told him to go to a place where I showed you. God said, because you believe, I'm going to count that as righteousness unto you. In other words, the simple act of believing caused Adam to be able to receive the righteousness of God, which brought him back into the right, Abram brought him back into the right relationship with God. Even though, and this is the part we want to talk about, even though he still from time to time would mess up.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's what people don't understand about the gift. The gift covers you. It's like an honorary doctorate. You didn't do anything to get it,
right. That's right.
But it was given to you.
Amen.
And that's the way this free gift is. The free gift, what it does is it puts us back in the right relationship with God, even though we haven't finished out our earthly existence now,
mm-hmm.
and from time to time we're still gonna mess up.
Right,
and that's true, and it puts us in that right relationship, meaning that we can grow and learn more about him, but we don't have to be there and get our quote-unquote get our together to receive that salvation. We receive that salvation, but God has given us that free gift, but we can still continue to grow in grace. But we still said, okay, we believe we've accepted him.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to be perfect right at that moment.
Right. Even though Dr. G considers us perfect.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And the good thing or the beauty about that whole thing is, you know, what we fail to understand, saying it's true, that there comes certain responsibilities,
yes,
with that free gift. And that whole thing is, it's got to be done God's way.
Mm-hmm.
But even though when we mess up, he doesn't take the gift away.
Exactly. Uh-oh.
We still got the gift. But, you know, it's a growing thing. But
right.
God kind of taps us on a hand, or he lets us know in his own way that you shouldn't have gone left.
Right.
But you should have gone right.
Right.
And you know, you often scratch your head, Sheila G, and say,
mm-hmm.
how could God love me
that much
that he knew that I was going to mess up? He knew that somebody was going to cuss somebody out today. He knew that I was on that car and cuss somebody, but I did it under my breath,
right,
and called that person a love me. We were out at the Brotherhood Summit on Saturday out at Bowie State College, and folks were cutting. They were passionate about, you know, what men should be doing for other young men.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing is that God, it leaves us speechless about a gift. Somebody gives something to somebody, knowing that they're going to mess up. In other words, we didn't deserve it. How can somebody give you a gift knowing that you...
Amen.
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 That's why a lot of people don't trust it or believe it, because it is unbelievable. But they're thinking in their natural mind and not thinking in the spiritual mind that is true, that he will give it to you even though you don't deserve it. But they're looking at it like, well, that can't be really true. It's something that he wants from me.
And when you look at it, it's like, it's good to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people have to do something spectacular to receive
yep.
salvation.
Right. Well, that's why a lot of people say, well, I'll be coming to church once I get myself together. Meaning that I have to get myself together before I can come to Christ. No, you come to Christ and Christ will get you together.
Amen.
So how many backflips, cars, how many times you got to run church under the church to get saved?
Don't.
How many times do you have to come to church to get saved?
You have to believe.
You have to believe
mm-hmm.
that God was willing to give you that free gift.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
So a lot of people are going to go to hell. Uh-oh, Dr.
Uh-huh. Come on. Say it. Because they don't believe it. And you can tell by the way they live their life, but there's no difference in their life. The speech is the same.
Right.
They're the way that they care is still the same. They still go party, but they figure, okay, if I pop it down then, that's enough to cover me.
Mm-hmm. And so let's look at verse 17, because again, we want to make sure everybody's understanding, how do we get back to the proper relationship with God?
Amen.
How do we get back to the fellowship with God? How do we do that? In verse 10, it says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. In other words, everybody died spiritually because of what Adam did.
Okay.
Then he said, much more they which receive abundance of grace. Somebody needs to say hallelujah for grace. Grace means that you got it. You didn't deserve it.
Amen.
You
Amen.
Couldn't earn it. You Amen. Wasn't good enough.
All
of our righteousness put together, bound up with a big bow on it, presented to God, and nah, that ain't just a filthy rag. But because the abundance of grace, let me talk about that. The abundance of grace, that means that God's got enough to save everybody.
A lot of it.
Can I scream? I scream. Thursday. I'm not going to scream.
Amen.
God's got abundance. He's got enough for everybody.
That's right.
I mean, whatever my... Mm-hmm. I'm like, Paul, I'll choose pieces of something.
Come on now. Come on.
I got everybody beat.
All right.
It's terrible. But he's got enough for stuff and some more.
That's right.
You understand? He says the abundance of grace. So in other words, when we shake our little puny fist at God, say, God, it's not fair. Adam did this, and now I'm in this trouble. God said, don't worry, man. I got an abundance of grace that can take care of all of that. Okay. All you got to do is just believe and receive that gift.
Amen. Amen.
And so what she says, abundance of grace and the gift, verse 17, Romans 5:17, and the gift of righteousness puts us back in the right relationship with God, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Puts us back into the right relationship with God that allows us to become alive again spiritually.
That's right.
If we don't have that, we're dead. But when we get that righteousness, that means we're alive again spiritually. That means we're back in the right relationship with God.
Right.
And God has enough a grace for all of us to receive it.
All right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Sheila G., what do you think about God's abundance?
It's just amazing, actually, to think. Because in I can look at it from the fact of, like, me being a mother and have children. And if you bring it down to that level, and that you have enough love for the ones that you have, but I couldn't have any more because you take all that love and spread it around. After a while, it's like,
I'm running thin.
I'm running thin.
But you are spreading it around because then you got your spiritual children.
Right. Right.
So, same thing with God.
Right.
He's got all of that grace to cover all of us.
Yeah.
And all he asks is that we just live right. Believe in him.
Renew that mind.
And when we look down at verse 18, Romans 5:18, it says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Mm-hmm. Everybody.
Everybody paid.
Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men under justification. In other words, here's what I said. This is God's plan. God says one person got you in it, one person can get you out of it. Everybody was messed up, everybody can get fixed up because I got enough grace. Just like sin came in and distorted our relationship, we died physically, we died spiritually. God's grace can come in and fix us back and put us back into the proper relationship. And it's so simple that I think sometimes people miss it. But look at verse 19, he says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of, talking about Jesus, shall many be made righteous. Again, back into the right relationship with God. We have to keep saying that because the wrong relationship was passed on to us by Adam when he disobeyed God and died spiritually. And so all of us got that wrong relationship gene in us. But God says he can fix it up by us simply believing. And then in verse 20, it says, moreover, the law entered. And we're going to talk a little bit about this law here. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. What does this mean? What this means is that God had to give us a law so that we can recognize that we was messed up.
That's right.
In other words, a lot of times we go through life, I ain't bad as them. They did what with it.
Come on.
They did so and so. I'm not as bad as them. You know, he you know, they might have, you know, Jack and robbed five people. I only did one.
Or I didn't rob anybody at all.
Right. I just, you know, did my thing. And so, you know, that's why God had to give a law. God said, y'all don't even recognize y'all laws. And that's the scary part.
Amen.
When you don't recognize your laws, you don't recognize that you're dead spiritually. In other words, you're the living dead.
Right.
You're dead spiritually. And so what he says here, he said, I got to give these folks a law so they can understand they coming short.
Right.
But when the law entered in, it says, but sin, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And he said, I gave you a law to show you how bad you were, to show you that you can get there.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you feel hopeless. He's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get back to God.
All right.
I said, get a hold of some of this grace.
Come on.
Right.
Some of this grace.
Come on.
And this grace will allow you get what you don't deserve.
Mm-hmm. That grace came from his son, Jesus Christ.
Lord have mercy. Can you imagine getting what you don't deserve?
Amen. I don't know what that's like.
Come on, MG.
Why on me today?
What you don't deserve.
Hello. That's just
pretty. Isn't that amazing?
That just doesn't happen. That doesn't happen other than through Jesus Christ.
And that's the only unconditionally for everyone.
Right,
of us.
Because humanly, everyone has some kind of condition, even if they give you something. Nothing more they want you to say thank you.
Right.
They want something. But God just wants you to live right, and he wants you to give you salvation. He wants you to live forever.
Because he loves you.
Because
But they, even when they had the law, still didn't understand what the law was talking about. Because they were pointing at other people rather than themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And here, again, is where grace had to come in.
Mm-hmm.
God's plan at work again.
Yeah. And so this last verse in chapter 5 of Romans, it says, sin have reigned unto death, even so grace reigned through righteousness. In other words, this is preceding the reign of death.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this supersedes the reign of death. God's got a even deals with death. Deals with everybody. There's no social, economic, racial status that doesn't understand death.
Nope.
I mean, from the creatures, the animals, to every human. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how poor you are. I don't care if you're black, green, purple.
You're going to die.
Gonna be you out of here.
If you came into this world, you're going to die.
You're going to die.
It covered the richest man in the world. I forget what his name was. What's his name? Who was the fella? No. Rockefeller or who was the guy that did the Apple thing? All these guys. All this money. Gates is still alive.
Bill Gates is still alive.
But
Jobs done.
But you know what?
He's gonna leave.
Jobs is dead.
Amen.
And if Gates lives long enough,
Amen.
He gonna die too.
Amen.
And all that money he got,
can't go with him.
He gonna leave it to somebody else.
He cannot take it with you.
Family gonna be fighting, all kind of stuff. But this is where we get excited, because grace superseded death. Grace, the reign of death has come to an end. In other words, the permanent effects of death have been washed out. In other words, death on the Christian, on the believer, is just a passing from our earthly existence to our heavenly existence.
Mm-hmm.
It's like passing through that door right there. It's like, okay, I died. I'm leaving this stuff here on earth. Now I'm going to pass on over and get my resurrected eternal body and live forever with God.
All right.
You die physically, but you continue to live on spiritually.
Exactly.
Which is the most important.
Because we believe we got that grace, and now we're alive spiritually.
Right. And you can be alive spiritually. That's the thing, is so many people are so vain about their bodies, about how they're looking, and they're not really feeding their spirit. The spirit is what's most important, because your body is it's going to fall apart.
It is falling apart.
It is falling apart.
Amen. It is falling apart.
Your body's falling apart, but your spirit can actually grow better as you get older.
Absolutely.
And become more knowledgeable and draw closer to Christ.
And so that last verse is that as sin reign unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto, that's the word, eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
Right.
So that's the end result that we want from God's grace. But what I wanted to go is I wanted to go back and look at the law that God gave so that we can understand how flawed we are and how much we need it, how much help we need it. And even now, when you look at these commandments that God gave, Jesus picked two out, and he said the first one is to love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is to love yourself, or love your neighbor, I'm sorry, love your neighbor as yourself.
Those are the two hardest for people to do.
And he said all the rest of them hinge on these two.
That's right.
So he said if you can get these two right, you will be okay.
All right.
But we can't stand each other. So how can we say that we love God who we have not seen and hate our brother or sister who we see every day?
Or we only love God when he's doing something for us. What the influence said when his mother died, a quasi-influence said that he was mad at God.
He was mad at God, right.
And then he eventually got himself together and turned to God.
Yeah, because God was the only one who was going to help him out.
Right, because he was mad at God, but that didn't do anything good for him. His life just went downhill until he came back.
Stink bug, man. but let's look at this in Exodus, and let's see how we're making out with this today.
Hmm.
You know, we're saved, and let's go back to Exodus 20th chapter and see if just on today, Sheila G, and he gave the perfect law to show the imperfect people that we were coming up short.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So let's look at God's perfect law
and
His Ten Commandments. And I want to see if we can live up to this today. I want to see if we can live up to this today. See if we can be saved today without grace.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we can.
Nope.
We can be saved without grace. But we're gonna look at them. Look at Exodus the 20th chapter, and let's look at what God gave to his people after they came out of Egypt. Exodus 20, we'll begin at verse 1, it says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." In other words, they were suffering in Egypt, with dealing with people that didn't know God.
Amen.
And God says, now, what I want you to do is I want you to understand, in order for you to be my people, I need to for you to be able to recognize that I'm God, and that I'm not going to have anybody else in front of me as representing God. And I need you to see this; these are my laws, and understand that you can't keep these laws not unless I am the one that can allow you to keep them. In other words, there was a plan that God put into action to show them that they needed God. Let's look at Exodus 20, verse 3. Now, again, I want to see if we lived up to this today.
Uh-oh.
And number 3,
Number 3 says,
nope.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Ouch.
Is anybody saved today or we lost?
We lost.
We lost our dream?
We lost.
What does he mean by
that? What does he mean by that?
I asked you first.
No G, no God. Anything and everything that we put before the Lord become more important to us than anything. Our cars.
Uh-oh.
Our money.
Mm.
Our booze. Our clothes.
Somebody said our shoes.
Our shoes.
My shoes.
Them tennis shoes.
My shoes.
Anything and everything. Them little G's.
The little G's.
The little G's. God with a little G's.
Objects of our affection.
So people
don't even recognize that, though.
No, they don't.
They don't recognize that they're putting things before the Lord, or that they're putting the Lord God on the back burner. Especially, you know, you save, you go to church, you go to Bible study, but when you're living your life, when you're not in the church setting, everything comes. Do you pray? Do you talk to the Lord? Do you read the Bible on your own?
Yep.
Do you, when someone is coming up against you, when that job is there, are you saying, Lord, help me, or are you trying to do it yourself?
Trying to do it yourself.
Little G's.
The Lord G's.
And so the first commandment that he says is, I'm not going to have anybody before me.
That's right.
Now, some of the worst spiritual beatings you can get. I said beatings.
Come on.
Spiritual beatings. Some of the worst spiritual beatings.
Ouch.
Some people say whooping. Some people say whipping. Some people say spankings. Some of the worst Dr. G spiritual beatings.
Amen.
I mean, beat down.
Amen.
I mean, it's hurting, but you ain't been hit. Anybody ever been there?
Somebody on the
radio is testifying.
Yes.
When you get a whooping, a beat down by God.
Ouch.
In other words, God said, you can try all you want, but nobody is going to come before me.
That's right.
And God will get your attention. I can testify by any means necessary.
He will.
Yes, he will.
That's not just a Malcolm X saying.
Yes, he will.
God said that I will get your attention by any means necessary, because nobody or nothing is going to take precedence before me.
Amen.
That's right. Sometimes you don't even realize it, and then afterwards you go through, you're like, oh, you know what? He did tell me to go left, but I went right anyway, and that's why I'm in this mess.
Lord have mercy.
But see, with them, but you know, they're living their lives in their own way anyhow, and they're not really concerned about God. I mean, they do a few little things, but in their own mind, they think that's enough, but it's not.
You got to understand the way God is looking at this thing. God is saying, I'm not giving you this law just because I want to be a bully.
Come on.
He's giving this word to us for our own good.
Amen.
For our own protection.
Amen.
Because he knows if we don't rely on him, it's going to come back to smack us in the head.
That's right. That's right.
See, that's the thing about God. God just didn't say, I'm going to make laws and I'm going to put them down just because I'm God and I want to rule and be king over you. He said, I know these folks crazy. And if I don't tell them what to do, they're going to bust their head wide open and it's going to be bad. So I need to give them this so they can understand that if you trust me and have me as your God and have me first, then I can take care of you, and all these other things will come into play.
Right.
Well, you know, it's just like we as parents. And if we don't set rules and guidelines within our households for our children, they'll turn out to be buck wild. And that's what's wrong with a lot of these kids out here now. You know, we were talking about the summit.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is because there are no males within the family.
Ouch.
So the females are trying to be mama and dad.
Daddy.
Ouch.
But again, that's not the way God started it. A male and female to be in that life to raise the person or to raise the child in the way that God wants.
Right.
But it's the same scenario.
Not putting God first.
Amen.
And again, that is the greatest commandment, is to love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, to put him first. And when you do that, what happens is God takes care of the rest, because
Amen.
You're saying, God, I know I can't make it without you, so I'm going to trust in you to work it out.
And you know, and it's not always that he will just make life so fine and dandy and wonderful.
No.
But if you put God first, when Satan throws things at you, God will teach you how to handle it.
Amen.
He'll give you peace when you're going through the storm.
He'll
let you know that as long as you stay focused, he's like, stay focused, stay focused, stay focused. Don't run, don't give up, don't give in. Stay focused, stay focused, and I will get you out.
Yeah.
But the beatdown comes when you don't stay focused.
Ooh, boy.
So because you're not staying focused, a lot of times you're rolling from one mess to the next mess, to the next mess, until finally you're like, okay, God, what?
Right, exactly.
Because we think we can do it ourselves.
Right.
So we said we didn't pass that one today.
Nope.
No.
All right, let's see if we pass the second one. Number four, 20, verse 4 says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, Lord, or is in the water, the earth. In other words, he's saying we need to stop making other things to be like God.
Amen.
And I think the number one thing we do in the morning is we make ourselves to be like God. We prep. We iron.
Uh-huh.
We starch.
Hello.
We make up. We cologne.
Some cologne.
We put oil of Olay. We put mask on. We put night of the morning on. We got cologne. We do stuff with our hair, our teeth,
uh-huh,
our shoes the night before. And we look in that mirror.
Oh,
somebody
yeah
need to say ouch.
Oh, yeah.
Then we'll turn to the side.
Uh-huh.
We'll pop the collar.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness. We'll make sure that the kicks are right, whether
hello
the pants are hanging
amen
just right, whether we're hanging the tongue.
All right.
We got all make sure the colors are matching.
That's right.
Make
right
sure they're
right
creases
uh-huh
in the shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure we got the latest gear.
That's right.
And we become that graven image.
I'm better than God.
Yeah, I'm
double kicked out.
Pop my collar. I'm looking good.
You know what? That's right.
That's
that
exactly
is what
got
the
devil
kicked
out.
That's exactly what got the devil kicked out.
We become the graven image.
Come on.
Look at me.
Mm.
You know, I'm sexy and I know it.
All that.
You know, it's like, and everybody does. Even little kids
right
get in the mirror.
Yeah.
I'm looking good.
Uh-huh.
Oh, look at my suit. Look at this. Look at that.
Well, mommy, can I get my $200 tennis shoes so I can look good when I go to school?
So what's that all about, Brandon? What's that all about?
You said I had a problem. Yeah. Call me out.
I mean, the one thing you have to realize, and I know I can definitely speak to this. I mean, it's pretty bad, especially with the shoes, but I know I'd gotten into a conversation with Reverend Stewart about it, where I was putting sneakers and Jordans and everything before God, and even my
mm-hmm
friends, and I mean, my friends didn't get it because they're not in the church, but I'm like, think about it. All week we're talking about we can't wait to camp out the night before, get up early, 7-8 hours early, get a tent, get chairs, get there early, but I'm like, you're not camping outside the church Saturday night
uh-oh,
waiting for
uh-oh
11
uh-oh
o'clock to come
uh-oh
and then wait for them to open the
amen
door so you can run in there and thank
amen
God for
man
all he's done for you. And it's a shame. And I've been there. I've been, don't even remember Monday through Thursday. I just remember Friday, school's over, go home, eat, go to my friend's house. Mom drops us off in front of the mall. Nobody's even thinking about safety or anything. We're just focused on, we got to get these shoes,
get these
in line,
get
these shoes. You know, knowing that God has even kept us, because
oh
now you
God
look on it, how many kids are getting killed,
amen,
a lot of people
right
robbing
right
the lines,
right,
the police got to be out there. I just talked to one of my friends that works in Prince George's, and he's like, it's just to the point now where he's just like, you have people 2-3 days now in advance that are doing this, and it's just crazy
wow
for some $200 sneakers that probably
right
cost 3 cents to make in a third world country
right
somewhere, you know,
right,
and
right
it's just, you know, priorities have gotten out of whack, but like you said, it's just the fact that, you know, are putting these things before God.
They're making them like
exactly
God, yeah.
But going back to what you said, Sister Gregory, you're so wrapped in it, you don't even realize what you're doing. Because when my brother told me, I'm like, no, man, I still worship God, go to church, you know. But he's just like, you don't really see it because you're so into it.
Yeah,
I
yeah
see it. And it's hard.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to realize, like, you know what, I do need to chill out. It's, you know, it's getting kind of, and he's like, listen to how you talk and listen to when you sit up. It's just like, when I ask you, you going to church tomorrow? Yeah, I'm going to church tomorrow. Hey, B, you getting those sneakers? Yeah, I'm getting those
yeah
sneakers.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
You know somebody
yeah
got another
up
pair.
I'm
I want to get two. I can get two, right? And then it's just, you know, he even said, even just in your voice and how you
right
talk, it's like
right
night and day. But a lot of times it's just priorities. But I do think it starts with the parents, because
mm-hmm
I know
right
a lot of my brother's students, he told me that a lot of his the students' parents are taking them to the mall early,
yeah,
are dropping them off, are
yeah
condoning that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the child doesn't really know any better because, like you said, Pastor G, it starts in the home. It
right
starts with them raising it. But
right
it's like,
that's
if
right
you condone that
right
and that's what they know, then, of course, when they get my age, it's going to be hard to try
that's
to say
true
you've been doing this wrong your whole life. And, this, you know, and it's they're already kind of
yeah
programmed
right
in that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. We didn't put you on spotlight like that. No, we didn't want to put you on, spotlight like that. But we that's the first graven image we see in the morning.
Right.
It's us.
That's true.
I mean, we got earrings. we shave our eyebrows, put eyebrow stuff. We do the mustache, the beard. We do the shirts. We put stuff. We line up 4 or 5 suits before we go one place.
Uh-huh.
Try them on, primping in front of the mirror, making sure the shoes are hooked up, the socks are hooked up.
And we do all of that, but we won't even open our eyes.
Thank you for waking me up.
What am I going to wear tomorrow?
Thank the Lord first.
And know we be looking, especially when we come into the church.
Oh, yes.
Or even if you say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to wear tomorrow?
Right.
And ask God to give you guidance.
Yeah.
Okay. At least then you're putting him first.
Yeah. if we wear glasses, we gotta have the designer glasses, the designer, the little Gucci on the side. We had the little coach. We gotta have the little my wife, she got some kind of thing, the latest bag. Who was that? I forget. What was that name?
No,
some new guy that she gets stuff. They got that kind of stuff going on, and you got to make sure. Well, I mean,
all
the thing's gonna be inside the purse.
All because of the name.
God don't even know you.
But you got your money.
You got your money. It's like Hilfiger. Everybody got a little Hilfiger going on, you know. And so, did we pass that test?
Nope.
No.
Oh my goodness. People gonna be looking in the mirror tomorrow talking about, Lord, thank you for my
thank you for allowing me to look
Lord,
good.
Lord, thank you for there you go. Lord, go ahead, Sheila D. Thank you for allowing me to look good.
That's right.
And I look good. That's right. Then I go outside and get into my vehicle the Lord gave me. And I look good.
Thank you, Lord, for letting me look good.
Pop the sunroof open, you know. But those are the things that are the graven images. And if you look down at verse 5, it continues, because thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. And so we start serving those things.
Amen.
We start serving shoes. Yep. We start serving cars. I knew I was a car serving dude.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Man, I served so many cars, it was a shame. I would armor all so much on the car. If you sit in the car, you would slide in the car. You couldn't even sit up straight because the armor all on the level was so shiny. Armor all the inside of the tire. So when I turn, you can see my black ball on my tire shined up. A bird just dropped a little bit on it. I'll be upset. Man, you see that? I'm wiping the car down every night like it's a baby, like I'm bathing the baby every night. Wiping the car.
But now here's a good one. Because in my younger days, I bought it. I was paying for it, my insurance. I told folk I wanted to be buried in my car.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, I did. So now y'all take that one.
I can't top that one.
I wanted to be buried in my car. In my car.
He wanted to be his coffin.
In the driver's car, I wanted to be buried in my car.
For the brother too, now
he's like, forget the casket. That was the beat. That was my car.
Oh my! I can't talk.
In my car. Thought y'all would like that.
Did we pass that test?
No.
Oh my goodness. Oh man, that is so funny. And he says in that verse 5, he says, I am my God and be jealous God. And what God says is he's jealous, not in a negative way. But he's jealous because he loves you so much that he wants your affection.
Amen.
In other words, he's jealous toward us because he knows that his love for us than the love of those other things.
Amen. Right. He doesn't want us to be drawn into thinking that those things will provide us as much love and care as he will.
Right.
And then we just get caught up in those things, and he's sitting here with the even better gifts for us.
You ever seen somebody get a new car, where they take a new car?
Been there and done.
And then after about 3 or 4 years, they're like, yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
You know. Yeah, whatever. You can eat my car now, whatever. I got a little scratch on it, whatever. But when you first get that car, it's like, man. You park it over there away from everybody.
Yep.
Right?
That's right.
You walk halfway through the parking lot. You don't want nobody, man, what are you talking about my car? That's why I parked it all the way over.
Or straddle the parking space.
And you want folks to wipe their feet before they get
in. Get in the car. Don't eat in my car. After it gets about 4 or 5 years, you're like, whatever. I'm parking right up front. right by the shopping cart. It don't make no difference.
But I got insurance.
That's why I said it will run out, but his love will not wear off.
So he's a jealous God, and what he says is that he's visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Mm-hmm. And again, this is the beatdown that God says, you know, if you don't think that you have repercussions for your lineage, the people that are coming after you,
right.
In other words, you can set a bad trend.
Amen.
Right.
And it's going to come down to that trend, to that generation. If you act like you don't know God, it affects everybody else that coming after you.
Yeah, same thing, Adam.
That's where it started.
So this thing of recognizing who God is so important, but then God never leaves us out. And then people say, well, we're under grace, but God had mercy in the Old Testament.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I'm just amazed with God. Look what he says in verse six, he says, I'm going to pass judgment on those who don't believe, who don't recognize me as God, but I still got some mercy. In verse six, he says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So he's, again, back in the Old Testament, God is trying to bring us back into proper relationship with him by showing us love, by showing us mercy. By showing us mercy means that we don't get what we do deserve.
Right. Mm.
Grace was we got what we didn't earn.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy is we didn't get what we deserve.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because anybody that sins deserves to die spiritually and stay dead.
Right.
But God's mercy says I'm not what you deserve.
Right.
And you know, one good thing that we fail to realize is that these laws weren't put in to treat us bad or to do
not
us
at all.
Harm.
Not at all.
They were put in to help us.
Yeah.
And to understand God in a different frame.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't understand starting from the thou shalt have no other gods before me, all the way down to that sixth verse, there's something wrong with us.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we want to put everything before God.
My Lord.
And the Lord is saying,
nope.
My Lord. And those first five or first six, they deal with our relationship with God.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I try to tell young people when they start looking at boo.
Hello.
Hello.
Boo.
Their boo.
Their little special boo.
Yeah.
Girlfriend,
you
boyfriend.
You start looking at the little boo. My boogum snuggums. That you need to get involved with someone that knows God.
Right.
That has a relationship with God.
Right.
Because if they don't know God and don't have a relationship with God, they're not going to be able to know you and have a relationship with you.
That's right, because it starts with God.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's why he said don't be unevenly yoked.
Because you don't know how to treat me.
Amen.
If you don't know how to have a relationship with God.
Hello.
Because God will give you what you need to know how to love and have a relationship with
goodness.
Me. It comes from God.
But Sheila G, he's fine.
You aren't born with that.
He's fine.
Yeah.
Sheila G, he's fine.
You got to have a right mind and
he
the right
a lot
spirit.
Of money. He got a lot of money.
The flesh is hard.
He whispering in your ear.
You better whisper to Jesus.
Girl, you look good.
But you know what? If you have a relationship, and I know this as well as if you have four brothers who run everybody away.
Right.
Pastor.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you do have a relationship with God, someone may look good on the outside,
mm-hmm.
but when they start talking and you watch their behavior,
mm-hmm.
that's why I always tell young girls, just watch them, just wait, just watch and
mm-hmm.
see.
Mm-hmm.
The ugliness will come out.
See, you can perpetrate a fraud, but
the
so long.
The ugliness will come out. What is it, a wolf and sheep? I'm going to say that backwards. Yeah.
But if you're putting other gods before God and you don't know God,
you have to know God.
He got a little bling bling.
Yeah. Amen.
He got a little money in his pocket.
Yeah, the flesh in you would want him.
Yeah. He got a little crib and everything, you know, little job, you know,
mm-hmm,
take
yeah.
you out to the mall,
yeah,
buy you a little something.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, you smiling from ear to ear.
Uh-huh.
nose wide open, and everybody else was saying, girl, you need to leave him alone. Girl, you need to leave him alone. Girl, you need to back up off of him. He doesn't mean you any good.
All right.
That's right.
But anybody else before God.
That's
you,
right.
You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
And that's why I try to tell the young people, don't put anybody before God, because if they know God and they love God, they know how to know you and love you.
Right.
That's the only way it's going to work. Dr. G, is that the only way it's going to work?
That's the only way. Period. Yeah, I mean, there's no other way. You talk about relationships. There are no real relationships unless you really know God.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you've got a relationship with God, you're right. God will show you, he'll show the male how to treat a young woman.
Exactly.
And then he'll show a young woman how to respond
mm-hmm.
without having to go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Right? He's meddling now.
Oh, yeah.
He's meddling. Go ahead.
This actually happened to me many moons ago, but I have a question because I know one of my colleagues at work has the same situation. Same concept. They put God first, but does it matter if they're of a different religion? Because I've dated someone who didn't believe in the same God I did, but I'm about to get struck down for asking this question. But in principle, though, the belief was still you live right, do other unto as you do to you. So she still, in that essence, still believed in a God, believed in living right, believed in doing things, but her religion was something, was not Christianity.
Okay.
How does our God perceive that? Because it's like, I know some women that are in the church that are Christians that aren't living right.
Right.
But this woman is living right, but same beliefs and everything, but it's just she worships a different God. So I just wanted to ask you guys, how does that play into it?
Well, the thing is, when you look at we were talking about being alive spiritually. That spirit that comes from God's Son, when he said, I'm going back and my Father's going to give a spirit, and then we become alive spiritually, the spirit that we lost in the garden, we became spiritually dead. And so once we receive Christ, he gives us his spirit. And what happens is the spirit of God is what allows us to live a godly life. So what happens is as relationships build, as just the things of the world come up, we won't know how to handle them not unless we have the Spirit of God on the inside telling us how to handle them. So eventually what will happen is the limitation of not knowing the true God will eventually cause the relationship to go like this. Mm-hmm. It might be you lose your job or she has something happen to her physically. But if you don't have the Spirit of God telling you how to handle it, that might send her off the rocker. That might send you to a place where he's like, wow, I thought you were going to be there. I thought you were going to, you know, as long as things were going good, as long as we were living right. But if I have the Spirit of God inside of me and something happens to my spouse, then the Spirit of God has the ability to allow me to deal with that so my relationship can continue to be a godly relationship. In spite of what the circumstance happens. See, circumstance happens in relationships, and that's when the true God shows up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, when the true God is in there, then when the circumstances mm-hmm. come out, y'all still good.
Right.
But if you don't have the true God, you don't have the Spirit of God inside of you, when the circumstance comes out, then you're going to say, oh.
Right. That's the true test of a real relationship.
Right.
It's not so much when the times are good, but it's when times are rough. How you handle it. Can you walk together as one? Can you handle, when I'm going through something or when other ones, or we're just upset with each other, how do we handle that? To me, that, you know, that's why sometimes people will get in a relationship and they may be 3 to 5 months in it. Oh, I love him. I'm going to marry him.
Yeah.
I'm like, have you had a fight? Mm-hmm. No, we never fight.
Okay?
You don't need to marry that person.
There you go.
That's the true test in a relationship is when you go through trials or when you go through tests, how do the two of you work together? Even if it's you not working out so well, but you end up afterwards figuring out how to get back together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because if you're in a relationship and you've never had a fight, never had an argument, someone is lying.
And with that too, Brandon, it's not so much according to whatever religion or denominations that folk worship through, because now there are some faiths that where they have the man being almost like God.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you as Pastor C was saying, the true Spirit of God doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where the woman is the subservient. So, you know, woman was made to be a helper,
right,
not to be under man's feet. Mm-hmm. So all of that, you know, again, you have to pray and ask the Lord to guide you
mm-hmm.
in whatever relationship you're in, whether it's Christian, Muslim, or whatever. Pray first, and then let God guide you.
And that whole thing, the circumstances coming up,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't have the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. to bring stuff
that's
back
right.
to your memory
right.
and to guide
mm-hmm.
you,
mm-hmm.
that's when it's going to hit the fan.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be like, okay.
And it'll hit the fan, and it'll stay in the fan instead of come hitting, bouncing off, and coming back together.
Right, right. And that's how you can tell. It's like, well, we was good until I lost my job. Yeah, money ran out and baby ran out.
Hello.
He was good until I broke my leg.
Come on.
Right?
Well, we were good until you plucked my last nerve.
Exactly. Whatever. But that's why we you have to have the Spirit of God on the inside, because the Spirit
right.
of God deals with the circumstances
right.
in a godly way. Whereas when we were spiritually dead, we acted like the devil.
Come on.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
Come on.
All the time.
We was the children of the devil.
Amen.
We acted like he was our daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Did whatever he told us to do. When he told us to do it. Stayed as long as he told us. Lord have mercy. He meddling again. but the thing is, with that, you know, if someone is in a relationship that's absent from what makes you alive again and back
mm-hmm.
into the right relationship with God, which the Holy Spirit brings you alive and puts you back in the right relationship with God, then eventually there's going to be an unequal,
right,
unequal spiritual relationship,
mm-hmm.
and it'll come out. And some people try to compensate for it
uh-huh.
by you know lowering their standards or lowering their practices, and then it really just doesn't work out. It doesn't work out, and you have to go through some things like Sheila
mm-hmm.
G says in order for you to really understand, you know, hey, we're not on the same spiritual
right.
level. All right, let's go back to the weird. Oh my gosh. About 8 minutes. So when you go back to verse, did we pass that one? We didn't pass that one. Let's go back to verse 7. It says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain."
That's a good one.
Oh,
hello.
But the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
Everybody say ouch.
Ouch.
What does the name in vain mean?
Just frivolously
use the word God.
You're not calling on him in reverence.
Mm-mm.
You're just using it like a slang.
Uh-huh.
You're just using it like a slang. You're not reverencing. You know, the Hebrews, they wouldn't even spell out the name. The early Jewish, they wouldn't spell the name out because the name was reverenced so much. They wouldn't
mm-hmm.
even say his name. They would spell it out differently, so that they wouldn't take and use the name in vain.
Or taking his name out of context. You know, when we using it either to worship him, pray to him, talk to him, but, you know,
right.
you're like,
oh.
Oh,
my
like,
God.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
What are you doing, man?
There you go. There you go.
And you know you aren't talking to him. You know?
No, it's just a slang. It's just
right.
It sounds good.
Right.
It fits in with my language right there.
Right.
And if he were to pop up and say what, then you'd be like, oh, I didn't mean you.
So do we? So Dr. G, do we really reverence God?
No, we don't reverence his name. We don't hold the church in reverence like they used to.
Yeah.
We don't. I mean, it becomes a thing where nothing spiritual really is held to that high regard. That's why, you know, at New Birth, I've had to go back
mm-hmm.
to the basics. You know,
mm-hmm.
you don't do this. You don't put anything on that altar table.
Right.
Right.
You know, you don't play up in the main sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do. No, you can't do that. You don't eat and drink
mm-hmm.
in the main sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
You don't talk on that phone
mm-hmm.
in the main sanctuary,
right.
especially while you're in service.
Right.
Right.
No, we don't hold God's name. It's like whatever.
Well, whatever, right.
We do.
And how dare you say something to
Thanks
me? Man. I'm leaving.
Bye. Really. And I've gotten to that point that you have to understand that we represent God.
Exactly.
Ambassadors.
And as pastors and officers of the church, we are responsible to make sure that our lives are held high.
Pass it on to that next generation.
Pass it on to that new generation.
Exactly. So, you know, I think sometimes, even as Christians, we just use that, oh, my God.
We do.
Oh, Lord.
We do.
You know, we just throw it out there. Just throw it out there. Yeah, sweet Jesus, you know. Just throw it out there. It fits.
Right.
You know?
Conversation.
Where again, they didn't even spell the name out. We can't spell it out. It's so reverent. I don't even want to spell the name out, let alone say it.
Right.
And you know, we've gotten so far away from that that it's almost sacrilegious. It's it's bad.
Amen.
It's bad.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, but we're really in trouble.
Watch out.
Lord help me.
Exactly. But let's go to verse 8.
Uh-oh.
Now, oh my goodness.
You might want to say that one for next week.
Well,
I
don't know. How much time you got left?
Not much. Not enough.
My Lord. We're going to leave that one for next week. My goodness. But God had to give these things to us to get us to understand where we're coming up short. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Jilla G, I would say that none of us have hit any of these first five.
Nope. We haven't passed none of them.
Thank God for
grace. Thank God for Jesus.
Thank God for grace.
Amen.
Thank God for grace.
God for Jesus.
Coming up short.
Yeah, the law's not enough. Yeah, thank God for Jesus.
We coming up short, honey. Mm-hmm. Lord have mercy. Let football season roll around.
Oh.
Number 8. Say it. Just say it.
And RG3 getting healed, too.
Go ahead and say number 8.
Verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day. To keep it holy.
That's football season coming around.
He said, 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work.
Hello.
But the seventh day?
But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work.
Any work.
Thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all them in them is, and rested. See, that's why we got so much problem and sickness in our lives, because we don't know when to rest. Lord have mercy.
Rested
the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Lord have mercy.
Made it holy.
Holy unto the Lord.
Made it holy.
But we'll get some sales papers out the Sunday. Lord have mercy. We'll visit the Kmart. We'll visit the Target.
Walmart.
We'll visit the Sears. We'll visit the Walmart.
Yeah.
We'll visit the Best Buy.
Yeah.
We'll go online, shop online.
Now, this is a good one, and this is when Billy and I were first married. We would go to church. We would drive by, especially during the summer and the spring, and we would count the number of people that got up early on Sunday to wash their car.
Wash the car. Everything. We'll be set up with the grill. All of that stuff. They playing the cowboy. I'm having a party. I'll see him next Sunday. Or this is my favorite one. I'm going to leave it alone. It's not my Sunday to sing. I'm going to leave that alone. Dr. G, you close us out. Lord have mercy.
Amen. Can we bow our heads? Gracious God, our Father, we thank you, O Lord, again for the end to another great session. Lord, we thank you for what we've taught tonight. We
thank you
for what we've learned. Lord, we thank you for grace.
Yeah.
And Lord, someone said in a song that if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, and Lord, we thank you that you've been on our side from day one. Thank you, O Lord, for the plan of salvation that you put into place early on. And Father, we pray now that you would continue to help show us all of our mistakes and help us with that grace to understand what a free gift is. Father, we pray right now that everyone on the line, everyone that's here, that, oh, God, we might come to grips with this thing and stop playing church
and stop playing religion
and learn how to be for real. Father, we praise you right now. We thank you
for just
being with us. We thank you for just continuing to give us grace, even when we don't deserve it. Now, Lord, we pray that if it's your will, tomorrow you allow us to wake up.
Yeah.
And we pray, oh, Father, that you would help us keep our minds stayed on you. And, Lord, if it's possible, through your grace and through you, we're determined that we're going to get to that point where we ought to be and should be worshiping you. Father, we thank you.
Thank you.
And we ask it all right now in the precious,
name.
Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Study up on those Ten Commandments. Oh, my goodness. We're coming up short on these things.